Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen. And coming up next week, or actually this week, starting tomorrow, as it is Sunday morning here, is the beginning of the SAE Clean Snowmobile Challenge. It's a week-long event that runs from March 2nd through the 7th. It's been going on for years here in the Copper Country. A number of schools come and compete with this. I managed to make it out a couple of years ago to see all the snowmobiles as they headed off the Copper Harbor, and it was quite a sight. So the only thing I can compare it to would be like the start of a NASCAR race with the engines running and all the people that were involved with it. And so for this year, I invited Jay Meldrum to come and speak on Copper Country Today so we can get a preview of this Clean Snowmobile Challenge. I'm sure you hear a lot about it in news coverage and you read about it in the newspaper. And what I want to do is encourage you to, if you haven't been out this year, to take the opportunity to go out and see the snowmobiles. There's a few chances you'll be able to do to get that, and we're going to cover those. First, let me welcome my guest here from Michigan Tech, Jay Meldrum. Thank you, and welcome to Copper Country Today.
Yeah, thanks, Rick. I appreciate you inviting me in here.
Now, this is the SAE Clean Snowmobile Challenge. Let's start with one of the basics. What is SAE International?
SAE International is a standards organization that I belong to, actually, for the current three-year period. This is my second year. I'm on the board of directors of that member organization. And they have within that organization a thing called the Collegiate Design Series, where there are several competitions, one of which is a formula car, one's an aero, it's an airplane. There's a Baja competition. And about 13 years ago, we took on at Michigan Tech the snowmobile event, adding that to the Collegiate Design Series. And just to back up a little bit, the Collegiate Design Series was actually created by a professor who now works at Michigan Tech. And they did a recreational ecological vehicle back in 1973. College teams came up and competed at the Keweenaw Research Station. And that blossomed into this competition event for all these different types of vehicles, and now including snowmobiles. So it's got a rich history of encouraging students to design and build and compete to do something in the engineering world.
When I was doing a little research about the snowmobile event, I came across the term extreme engineering, which was used for to talk about all of these collegiate competitions.
Right.
What is the spirit of extreme engineering?
Well, in some of the events, in some of the competitions, they actually start from the ground up and build a vehicle, a car, a formula car. In our competition, ours is all about clean and quiet. So we allow the kids to start with a snowmobile that's already been manufactured and no more than 5 years old. And it's already clean and quiet by law, by the way. They have to beat the standards. They have to make that even more clean and more quiet. And so we do things that they don't do in the other events. We measure the emissions using a very sophisticated emissions analyzer. We measure the noise of the snowmobile. And by law, snowmobiles have to be clean and quiet. So the students have to go way outside the envelope and figure out what do we have to do to make this. It may not be practical to put it in production. They're putting catalytic converters. They're changing the engine mapping. And I add another twist. I give them a fuel they've never seen before. I give them a designer fuel that you can't buy at the store, and say, you got to use this fuel. You got to figure it out, how to make it work. It's still a legal fuel, but it's not one that you'd go down to the gasoline pump and find today. Okay. So it is extreme. It's a tough competition.
The competition lasts for 1 week. Do they get the information ahead of time before they come in, and they have time to work on it and get prepared?
Yeah, they get the rules when they come to school in August. The rules are already done and ready for them to download. Some teams who have worked on this event year after year know that I don't change the rules so much. So they could probably use last year's snowmobile, but Jay puts a twist on it, so they're going to have to change that snowmobile. I don't care if they bring last year's snowmobile. It won't work this year because I put a twist on it to make them change it. So they have roughly 8 months to do the project. A lot of the other competitions do it in the summer, but obviously we have to do it in the winter because we need snow. And I found that earlier in March is better than late in March.
For some years, so this year you'd be fine.
Yeah, I think I'd be fine at the end of April, but we do it early March, and so basically from August until next Monday they have to design and build and test and make sure. They have to write a design paper. They have to give a presentation at the event. They have to turn in lots of information to me to make sure they're doing it right along the way so they're prepared. I always say, come to compete, not complete. I don't want them working on the sleds when they get there. I want them to be done. So, yeah, it is pretty extreme and in a tough competition. Being a week long, too, is longer than any other Collegiate Design Series competition.
And now they've been working, or you've been running this event for about 13 years. Now, do the teams build on year after year, or do they, other than your twist, are they starting scratch? I mean, are the designs that they're coming up with now 10 years better than they were 10 years ago?
Oh, absolutely. They're and that is pushed by the industry, because the event started in 2000 in Yellowstone over the controversy of snowmobiles in the park being noisy and smelly, and it grew from there, and it wasn't sustainable in Yellowstone, so they said, we really can't keep this going. We need a university to pick it up. And I raised my hand a little too fast, I tell people, but our research center is just ideal for it. So in 2006, the law went into effect to make snowmobiles cleaner, and now we're in 2015. So in 2012, the emissions levels were at their lowest for this standard, and now we're 3 years beyond that. So the snowmobile manufacturers are building very, very clean and very quiet snowmobiles by law. If you buy one today, it's very clean and quiet compared to the year 2000. So the teams can start with that, but if they don't do anything to it and just bring a stock sled, they're disqualified.
Oh.
So they have to do something. They have to prove that in the design paper. We inspect it and see what they've done. And then we measure their emissions. And if their emissions aren't marketably better than the emissions standard, they won't win, because they've got, 10 other teams that are trying to get better and better and better. So same with noise. If you aren't the quietest or near the quietest, you're not going to do well in this competition. You have to beat the standard, and you have to have a quiet snowmobile, or you can't win. So you can come in second or third, but you can't win unless you both are clean and quiet.
So. Now, the ingenuity of the students, does that have a way of spilling back over into the industry, things that they come up with? It ever find its way into the designs of snowmobiles?
Yeah, that question comes up all the time. And I always say this is an educational program, and it's all not about technology, it's about education. But use the word spill, I use the word leak. Technology leaks out of the competition. And the best example, there's two. One, we found out that noise on a snowmobile is both from the engine and the track. 50% from the track, 50% from the engine. A lot of people don't realize how noisy tracks are. The other thing that happened in 2007, a team from Idaho brought a two-stroke and won the competition. And normally two-strokes are noisier, smelly, and you wouldn't think of them as being capable of being quieter than a four-stroke snowmobile. Well, these kids worked for their internships at BRP, which is the company that invented the direct injected technology on the outboard Evinrude engine. They made that work on a snowmobile engine, and they were not only fuel efficient, they were quiet, they were clean, and they won the competition that year. And the next year, Bombardier Recreational Products, or the Ski-Doo brand, put that technology into their sled and has since put it into a number of their engines. And it's now called best available technology in the industry.
Well, that's amazing.
So yeah, they didn't invent it, but they made it work.
Yeah. And the ideas that students come up with, I have to imagine that they're usable in more things than just snowmobiles, and too, improving environmental impact of other vehicles.
Yeah, the market for snowmobiles, of course, is depressed over the past several years. We haven't had the snow that we've had in the Keweenaw, and so snowmobiles sales have been flat, but there's plenty of four-wheelers out there, side-by-sides. It's a very growing market, and all these companies build those types of vehicles as well. So they're looking for the students that go through this event to learn from this event and then join those companies like Polaris, like Arctic Cat, BRP I mentioned, the Ski-Doo brand, and Yamaha. I always think of Yamaha as an engine company that just happens to make a snowmobile, because they make so many products and so many engines. But the other ones are snowmobile companies. So
now you draw 20 teams, and it looks like you have to cap it at 20, because you might even
Well, they're actually at 21 this year.
Are they? Okay.
Yeah, I cap it at 25. But, oh, okay. But there's probably 30 or so universities that have ever competed. Some programs ebb and wane, and sometimes, you know, they just can't get it together. So far, everybody's turned in their report. I have 6 electric teams coming, 2 diesel teams, and the rest are internal combustion. So far, everybody's still coming. And I usually find out today or tomorrow if somebody really didn't get their program done. But it'll be crowded up at KRC.
How far-reaching is this competition? Obviously, Michigan Tech participates. Mm-hmm. Are there other local universities from Michigan?
Kettering University, which is in Flint, Michigan. That's where I went to school. It was called General Motors Institute way back when. They won last year. So they're coming. Madison, Wisconsin has 2 teams, Platteville and the Madison campus. Minnesota has 2 teams this year, both Duluth and their Twin Cities campus. We've had teams from Alaska. They're not coming this year. Idaho, we've had teams from Maine. They're not coming this year. And then I think I mentioned to you before, we have one coming from way far away, from a country called Finland.
I've heard of it.
Yeah. And so Lapland University of Applied Sciences, they're in the plane right now. They just sent me a note saying, we're on our way, Jay. We'll be there. Our sled will be there tomorrow. And so it looks like they're going to compete in the electric class.
Is this the first time you've had an international school come?
We've had plenty of Canadian teams. Waterloo is a regular. ETS, which stands for École de Technologie Supérieure, is a regular. We've had Vancouver, McGill. So we've had a lot of Canadian teams, but never one from Finland or anywhere else. We've had some talk about a Swedish university showing up, but they haven't got their act together yet. So
you mentioned your alma mater, Kettering, won last year. Mm-hmm. There's one grand prize, but then there's a lot of categories that you compete in.
Right, right. There is, we call it now the McLean Fog. It's a company that's one of our sponsors. It's a traveling cup that kind of looks like a Stanley Cup. That's the grand prize that they get to take home and bring back for somebody else to take home the next year. Then there's a number of prizes, first, second, and third in each category. So diesel, electric, we call that zero emissions, because basically there are no emissions from an electric vehicle per se. And a diesel, electric, and internal combustion, spark ignited. But then, yeah, there's categories like best acceleration, best design, as proven by their design paper score and their presentation score. There's an innovation award, which is given out by a company called Denso International, one of our big sponsors. John Deere became a sponsor this year because they encouraged me to keep the diesel class. I was going to get rid of diesels, and they said, no, don't do that. We want you to do diesels because we want students to learn how to do diesel engines. So they're sponsoring that class. And then Mahle Corporation, that's Mahle, they have the best engine design. There's a number of categories that the students can win. And sometimes somebody takes home, everybody takes home something. You know, that's actually happened one year where every team won something, even if it was just most improved or, you know, best logo on their sled, you know, best artwork or something like that. So,
are you earning points towards that grand prize per?
Yeah, every event has a certain number of points. It's heavily weighted towards the noise and emissions, so it's 300 points each. Then the next category we encourage is fuel economy. Everybody wants a fuel efficient vehicle, so that adds up to a couple hundred points. The endurance run, we go 100 miles from the KRC to Copper Harbor, and that's a big event. That's 200 points. So if a snowmobile can't go 100 miles, it's not a snowmobile. If it can't go 45 miles an hour, it's not a snowmobile. So we have these certain criteria that we test during the first couple days of the competition to make sure that they're a viable competitor.
How has Michigan Tech fared recently?
Michigan Tech has won twice over the 13 years that I've been here. They won the hill climb the first year when it was in Yellowstone, which they get this great big belt buckle for hill climb. We don't do hill climb. In fact, that event was, they gave the sleds to professionals, and then they ran up the hill. But Michigan Tech won that. Then over the years, they've come in middle of the pack, sixth, and so forth. I think they've got a good chance this year. Talking to some of the people on the team and the and their advisor, and they realize that it's a marathon. And if you place well in every event, you're going to do well. You don't have to win every event, but if you're near the top, proven by Kettering last year, they didn't win every event. They only won a couple, but they won overall. So it's a marathon. If you can keep your sled running for the week and finish every event, you're going to do well.
You compete in something long enough, you're bound to develop a rivalry. Is there one that Michigan Tech sort of, you know, if no matter what, as long as we beat Ohio State, you know?
Yeah, I'd have to say that's Madison. Madison is one of the top contenders every year. They have a very good program. Idaho, Kettering, Michigan Tech, yeah, those are certainly the local Midwest rivalries that I would say, yeah.
Okay, well, we'll keep an eye on the, on Madison and see how Michigan Tech does a head-to-head with them. And as long as just, as you said, it's education and it's for fun, but I'm sure the students have a competitive element to it. They want to do well.
They really go out of their way helping each other. In fact, we give out a Most Sportsmanlike Award, and that has to be nominated by another team, two other teams, and voted for by the students. And that's probably the most prestigious award, is to get that. And Michigan Tech has won that several times.
Okay. Talking with Jay Meldrum right now about the SEE Clean Snowmobile Challenge, which coming up this week, March 2nd through the 7th. And one of the great things about this event is, you know, there's not a lot of opportunities for the public to visit the Keweenaw Research Center. It's usually closed off. Mm-hmm. This is one of those times where, you know, if you want to see what's going on, you want a little peek inside, you can come up there because of the events that are open to the public.
Correct. You can come into the pit area, which is the old Quonset Huts and Butler buildings next to the airport. That's where we have the pit area for the snowmobiles. You're welcome to come there. There's an acceleration and handling event that we do on Saturday, very close to the road, so you don't have to walk very far. And you can see the acceleration runs and the handling runs. We have an event on Wednesday night at the Copper Country Mall, the owners of the mall. The Moyles are snowmobile people. They love us coming there and showing off the snowmobiles, and all the judges and volunteers and sponsors also might put up a stand and show off their company in an effort to not only meet the public but to talk to the students about potentially hiring them to work at their company. So it's kind of a mini job fair, if you will. The twist is there's 20 universities, not just Michigan Tech. So our career services personnel help run that, and it's a very festive evening. So those are the main events. I certainly encourage you to come and watch them take off on the starting day of Tuesday. Monday is inspection day, so we make sure they meet all the rules. But Tuesday at 10, we take off on the endurance run. And there's a first 30 miles are done at the center, and you can actually see them go around the loop at the center for the first 30 miles. And then after that, they're on the trail all the way up to Copper Harbor. So
if you wanted to be hardcore, can you go up to Copper Harbor? And
absolutely, as long as you stay way in front of us or way behind us. Yeah, we have, of course, a lead sled, and then we have a trail sled to make sure we pick up any stragglers and don't leave any students behind. Okay. But we have a number of people that do follow them up to Copper Harbor, and the attrition rate is usually 50%.
Usually, you lose 50% of the teams?
Usually half the teams that leave the center make it to Copper Harbor. So hopefully they fail in that first 30 miles where we're doing loops at KRC, but sometimes they fail on the trail. We had one fail at the base of Brockway Mountain one year, and that's a long way from nowhere.
Yeah.
But we have people going along the way to help the students and to get them out of trouble and to haul them back. Last year we had about 75% of the teams finish all the way to Copper Harbor, which is an achievement, I would say. And like I said, I always want them to be ready to go and ready to compete. And so they are getting better at that as well.
I'm sure it takes a lot of people to put on an event like this. It's a week-long thing. You can't be doing everything yourself.
Right.
Who else gets involved? Who gets their hands dirty?
Well, I always tell people at the center that they work for me that week and not anybody else. And, you know, we have a lot of customers there that are testing, but they kind of step aside and let us have the whole test course to do this and all the buildings. But I have a number of judges and volunteers and companies like Polaris will run the acceleration handling event themselves. They'll just come up, we'll give them the snow, and they'll set it up and run the event. A company called AVL will do the emissions testing. They use our equipment, but their engineers come in and do the emissions testing for me. And this is what they do day in and day out in a production level, so they know how to do it and do it quickly. We're pretty good at noise testing, but we do have companies that support us in both noise sound pressure, which is how loud it is, and we also have a company that measures sound quality. So we have the students actually listen to the sleds and say, this is pleasing or this is not pleasing. Ironically, the teams know the sound of their sled, and so they'll always say, that sled sounds pretty good.
That's the benchmark.
That's the benchmark. But you know, when you do that and with a number of people, you say you get 30 or 40 people and the statistics take over, then it becomes a good evaluation of sound quality.
For people that aren't maybe directly associated with the university, are there opportunities to volunteer or to sponsor, to be part of this somehow?
Absolutely. And there are hundreds of local companies and hotels and restaurants that help us run this event. But I also reach out and ask people if they'd like to come on Wednesday to review some of the design presentations. I've got a large conference room. I've got plenty of room to fit people. To listen to the teams with their presentations and judge them. I have a rubric that you can use, and you know, how did they explain this, and you know, it's not about how flashy they look, but it's, can they explain their design coherently? It's all about presenting skills. So I welcome people to get involved in that if they'd like.
Has every year gone smoothly?
Well, the first year we didn't have any snow.
Ooh.
And 2003 we had to call around the Keweenaw, and this was March 8th was the start of that competition. I remember it. And we called up to Copper Harbor and said, do you have any snow up there? And they said, sure, on the Mandan route. And if you've ever been up on the Mandan route, you know that that's one of the most treacherous circles there is in the Keweenaw. And we got a couple teams, including Kettering, that got stuck out there 2 miles away from the northern tip of Copper Harbor in the middle of nowhere. And that was the worst. Then when we came back to the center, all we had left were banks to do the rest of the events. So we ran everything on the banks that we had built up over the winter. So we've always had snow, but it's been thin some years. And we've had rainy years. This year and last year looks like we'll have plenty of snowpack and plenty of cold, of course, which is what you need for snow. It's always nice if it just snows before you go snowmobiling, but not sure that's going to happen, but we got plenty of snow.
Is it possible to be too extreme? I mean, if we're looking at some of these temperatures we've had recently? Or
yeah, I wouldn't want it to be -8 like it was when I got up this morning and do the cold start. We do the cold start on Saturday before we do the other events, and that's another event where only half the teams usually do well, and even on a temperate day they don't do well. So yeah, it's brutally cold this year, and I'm not sure it's going to be brutally cold next week like it was this week, but yeah, they can, I don't want anybody getting hurt and nobody getting frostbite, but so we'll keep an eye on that
in the near future, or maybe even for this particular week's events. Is there anything that's new or goals that you'd like to see happen coming up?
Actually, yeah, we're trying this designer fuel this year. It's called isobutanol 16%. It's actually an approved fuel for use in vehicles and engines. And so it's the second year we're trying it. But I'm looking for new games. I'm looking for, you know, how do I challenge the students next year? We've done ethanol. We've done flex fuel. We've done E85, E25, you name it. We've done all the ethanol blends, and butanol is a close variant to that. So yeah, I'm always looking for new games, and the snowmobiles are so clean and so quiet that it is getting harder for the students to go beyond that. So I'll be looking for new challenges, and we have an event right after the endurance event. We get all the students together. It's up at the Sheldon Grill, And all the students are allowed to talk and say, I like this, I don't like this, I'd like to see that, about the event. So it's their feedback to me, and that'll come up. What are we going to do next year? What's the game going to be? So,
well, if you have some ideas for that, or if this is, you know, you got to have something else you can contribute to the SAE's Clean Snowmobile Challenge, you can visit their website. Also, you'll find a schedule of events there. I'll post the link to the website on the Copper Country Today page on Keweenawreport.com. I encourage you to head out at 10 o'clock on Tuesday morning to the Keweenaw Research Center and cheer the folks on as they head up on the endurance run to Copper Harbor. And this looks like we're setting up to be another terrific year. Jay, thanks for coming in and talking to me about it.
Thank you.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.